Well, good morning. I'm so glad you're here, by the way, at Journey Church. And I don't know about you, but I love the name of our church, Journey Church, because it speaks to us as individuals. And here's the fact of life. Everybody here today is on a journey. And I just love that everyone's on a spiritual journey. And there's some people that are in the fast lane, and they're going about 80 mile an hour. And then there's some people in this four-lane journey that are maybe in the slow lane going about 40. I'm not sure what's going on there, but let's go. So we just want to encourage everyone. We're on this journey together. And by the way, not only are we on a journey individually, but we're on a journey as a church, okay? And as a church, a part of our journey is our mission. And our mission is simply to grow and go. That's why I'm wearing a T-shirt now for about the third month in a row to remind you that I made this commitment that I would wear this shirt every Sunday this year, and it's getting old really quick. I feel like I'm underdressed for every service now. I need to step it up. But just to remind you that we're about wanting to see people grow, and we want to see people go. And that's true of each and every person. We're also on a journey as a church where we want to just go on a journey together for our vision. So if you look in the book rack in front of you, there's one of these cards. I want you to pull it out. It's going to be for you to take home. It's for you to take home, put on your refrigerator. Because here's our vision here at Journey Church, and that is that every person has three things. Number one, that every person feels known. We want every person that walks in our church, regardless if it's Sunday morning or Wednesday night, I don't care if it's somebody that's 75 or 80, or if it's somebody that's 3 years old, we want to make sure that we do our best as a church to make every person feel known. And number two, we want to make sure that every person feels cared for. We want everyone to feel cared for. And I do want to say this, and please listen very carefully. Your care will not only come from me, but I'm trusting that your care will come from other people who make up this family. This is a family thing. We're in community together. So we want to make sure everybody's known, cared for, and then look at the third one, and that is that every person has the opportunity. You have the opportunity to make a meaningful contribution. We realize that not everybody's ready for that yet, but if you want to make a meaningful contribution in the kingdom of God, something that lasts for eternity, we want to give you that opportunity here at Journey Church to say, hey, I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of that. So I want you to take this home. Get used to these three simple phrases. We want to make sure you feel known, you're cared for, and you have the opportunity to make a meaningful contribution. So let me ask you, please don't respond out loud. That could be a little awkward. But let me ask you this question. Do you feel known? Please don't respond. That'd be awkward. No! Do you feel cared for? Do you feel like you have the opportunity to make a meaningful contribution? So that's what we're all about. So make sure that these don't stick around. Make sure they're on your refrigerator at home, and you know exactly what we're all about every time you look at that. Every time, known, cared for, meaningful contribution, you can talk the lingo of where we're going, okay? So let's do this. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Thank you so much for being here today. It's very, it's meaningful that you're here today as we talk about community again this morning. And let's just give our time to the Lord and ask for the Holy Spirit, His presence to be here. Because how many people know there's only so much I can do? But how many people know that the Holy Spirit can do anything? Amen? So right now we just come, Father, and we just thank you for this time together this morning. And we just thank you that we can gather together in community here this morning. And we just ask, Holy Spirit, for your presence to come and do what only you can do in the hearts and the lives of people. We just pray that you'd be here and that you'd give us ears that would hear and hearts that would receive what you want to say today to each and every person that's here this morning in this moment. We pray that these moments will be meaningful moments. We pray that these would be moments of impact. And Lord, we just pray that these would not only be mic moments, that would be a tragedy, but more importantly, that these would be Holy Spirit-breathed moments and that you would be at work in this place today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Well, what we're going to do today is we're going to continue our series called Created for Community. And last week what we did is we answered the why question. And I'll tell you what the why question is if you weren't able to be here. And the why question last week is, why is Christian community so important? Why is it so important that we gather together with other believers? And the answer to that question is simply, Christian community is important because it's oftentimes the vehicle that God uses to grow our faith. Meaning, if you want to grow in your relationship with Christ, if you're desiring to grow in your faith, it's very important that you become a part of community with other believers, okay? Other believers. See, the Christian life is not meant to be lived out or cultivated in solitude. But the truth is, if you're serious about wanting to grow, and God is serious about wanting you to grow, the deal is we need to be in community with other believers. So what does Christian community look like? Or better off, maybe the question is, what are the ingredients? What are the qualities that make up Christian community? Well, if you have your Bibles today, I want to encourage you to pull out your Bible right now. And I want you to go to our go-to text for the series is Acts chapter 2, a very impressive portion of Scripture that talks about the first generation of believers right after the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit's poured out upon Peter. He gets up in the power of the Holy Spirit. He begins to preach. That day, 3,000 people give their life to Christ. And now what happens is this group of 3,000, they form a community, and we get a look in, we get a snapshot into what that community looked like. So with no further ado, I'm going to have Heather come up, and she's going to read the text for us this morning. So why don't we do this, just for the change of positions, one last time. If you could stand to your feet for the reading of God's Word, Heather will lead us in the Word today. Heather.
42 through 47, the believers form a community. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved.
You may be seated. Thank you, Heather. Appreciate that. So what does Christian community look like, this community that's going to bring about growth in our faith? Well, last week we discovered that the first ingredient of Christian community is that we see that these folks were devoted. We looked at that word devoted, and we simply said that word devoted simply is all in, meaning they weren't on the fringes, they weren't thinking about it, but they dove in, they were all in. And we see that they were devoted to four activities, and we talked about these activities in more detail last week. First of all, we see that they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They didn't have the scriptures yet. It was too early in the game. So they got together, the apostles would share the stories of Jesus, what they saw, what they heard. Today we have the Bible. So we're always encouraging you at this church to make sure that you're devoted to God's Word. So don't answer this out loud, but did you eat this week? We talked about this last week. Did you eat this week? And I'm not talking about physical food, but did you feed your spiritual man this week by feasting on God's Word? And then we see that they were devoted to fellowship, meaning they got together with other people who had responded to the gospel, and they were with other gospel-minded people, and iron sharpens iron, and they were sharpening one another, and they were growing together. And then the third thing is they were devoted to, which is my favorite, they were devoted to sharing meals together. They would go into each other's homes, and they would have these meals together. And I thought about that more in detail this week. And I want to say this, it doesn't mean that you have to have this extravagant meal, okay? How many people know you can have grilled cheese and tomato soup, okay? Or better yet, you could just have a cup of coffee, and if you're soft like me, you'll have a cup of hot chocolate. But just getting together with other people, eating, drinking, letting the guard down so you can begin to talk about the things of the Lord and grow in your faith. And then it says they were devoted to prayer. And we talked last week about two types of prayer. We talked about there's individual prayer, when you shut the door and you go and you meet with the Lord privately, and you not only talk, but you listen to what God's saying. And then last week we talked about corporate prayer, and we had a corporate prayer meeting at the end of the service. It was really, really good. So what I want to just say in passing real quick, at the end of the service today, we will conclude our service by having a time of corporate prayer together once again. There's people who have brought needs to me, and I said, hey, do you mind if we pray together as a church family? So that's what we're going to do at the end of the service. So today what I want to do is I want to look at a second quality of Christian community, and I want to go back to verses 45. So they were devoted. So you can write those down. I missed it. Okay. They were devoted, and let's look at the second thing they were devoted to, okay? And it says, all the believers met together in one place, and here's what they did when they were meeting together. They shared everything they had, meaning, hey, I heard you had a lawnmower. I need to borrow your lawnmower, okay? I heard you had a great donkey. Can I borrow your donkey? I'm going on a trip. So they were sharing their belongings, okay? So I want you to get this. These people are close. They're sharing the things that God had given them, and they were sharing these things with other people who may needed to borrow them, okay? But beyond that, it got deeper, and it says they also, I mean, check this out. I know some people are going to start to hyperventilate here, but it's the Bible, okay? And it says they sold their property, and they sold their possessions, and look at what they did. They shared the money. Is anybody getting nervous yet? And they shared the money with people who were in need, okay? So the second quality that we're going to look at this morning that makes up this Christian community is this: generosity. Let's all say that together. Let's say it like we're excited about it. We're spirit-filled. Everybody together. Generosity. So these people were generous with each other, okay? These people were kind with one another. They were practicing unselfishness with one another. And we see this not only in their words, but in the fact that they were sharing everything they had together. They were even sharing their money. I can't believe it. They went all the way. And I believe this is evidence that God was at work, because these aren't things that you do naturally. Does everybody agree with that? By nature, we hoard. By nature, we don't share. We're like little kids. We got to be told to share. By nature, that's my money. I keep it for myself. But I think the deal is, it's obvious that in this early church that God is at work in a supernatural way. So I want all of us to understand this isn't just natural. This is supernatural stuff going on. And actually, it reminded me of this beautiful verse in Ezekiel this week. I was thinking about it. I thought of this verse right away, where Ezekiel's prophesying about people coming to Christ. And he says, and I will give you a new heart. Everybody say those two words, new heart. New heart. And I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your old, stony, stubborn heart, and I will give you a tender, responsive heart. And that's what's happening in these 3,000-plus people. They don't have the old heart. They've come to Christ. They got this new soft heart, and as a result, they're saying, hey, I want to share with you my stuff. Hey, I want to sell my property. I want to give to those people in need, okay? And the cool thing about this passage is it's not just a one and done. Because if you know the book of Acts, you'll know that if you go to chapter 4, so if you have your Bible open, please turn with me to chapter 4. We see that this is going on once again, and I want to read some verses with you. And we'll pick it up in verse 32. When you're there, say, I'm there. When you're there, say, I'm there. Not a one and done. I want you to look at this. It's two chapters later. So I'm not sure how many weeks have gone by, maybe months. I'm not sure. It says all the believers were united. How many people know that when believers are united, amazing things can happen? How many people know that when believers are united, amazing things can happen? So they were united in heart, also in their mind. And check this out. The wording here is amazing. And they all felt. Everybody say the word felt. I love it. It's not saying the preacher had to persuade them strongly. It says they all felt that what they owned was not their own. I mean, that's incredible. They felt it in their own hearts. It wasn't because Peter said, hey, you need to give everything. No, it's because they felt it. So they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of Jesus. That's what this is all about. And God's great blessing was upon them all. Verse 34. I mean, check this out. This is a community of about 3,000 plus. There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them. And by the way, we're not going to condone that today. That's not what we're after here. Verse 35, and they brought the money to the apostles to give to those in need. So what you see happening here is people are beginning to sell property and land. And then they would get the money for that property and they would bring it to the leadership. And the leadership would say, okay, we're going to distribute this money wisely. We've heard about so-and-so that's now a widow. And now what we're going to do is she needs help. Thank you for your gift. We're just going to be the channel that we're going to give that gift to that widow now in her time of need. So what we see here is the church is just a beautiful, beautiful place. Verse 35, and bring the money up. We read that. Verse 36, for instance, and then I love he gives an example, Luke, the writer. He says, for instance, there was a man named Joseph, the one the apostles nicknamed Barnabas. By the way, do you know what that name Barnabas means? We're told right in this verse, it means son of encouragement. So here's this guy in this community of believers, and all that he did is he took it upon himself to go around and encourage people. How many people know we need more people like Barnabas? That we make it our goal to say, hey, I want to encourage you. I want to say, hey, wow, you look great today. Hey, you can do it. God loves you. He's got a plan for your life. So that's Barnabas. He's just going around and he's just encouraging people. And I love Luke's detail. He said he was from the tribe of Levi and he came from the land or from the island of Cyprus. And check out what he did. He sold a field he owned and he brought the money to the apostles. So what I want you to see now, we see within four chapters of the book of Acts, we see the generosity that existed in this first century community. They are generous with one another. They're not hoarders. They're sharing with other people. They're being kind. They're being unselfish. So what I want to do with the few minutes that we have remaining this morning, I simply want to talk about generosity. And my goal is that maybe right now you're at a 2 out of 10 in generosity, that we could just bump that up to a 3 or 4. So wherever you're at in generosity, I just want my words just to take you to maybe a greater place, okay? So what we're going to do as a guide of our conversation, I want to ask you 3 questions about generosity. So we're going to look at the why question, we're going to look at the how question, and we're going to look at the what question. So let's begin our journey together. If you're taking notes, question number 1 is this. Why should we live generously? Or you could just simply say, why be generous? So I want everybody just to totally engage with what's going on here. Let's pray again. Father, just speak to us today clearly in Jesus' name. Why be generous? Why? Think about that. Why should we be generous? I'm going to be very simple with you, very straightforward with you. We should be generous because God is generous. And somebody said, God is generous. And here's the deal. He expects his children to follow his example. So God is generous. And here's the deal. If you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible is clear in numerous places that when you place your faith in Christ, you become a child of God. And as his children, we are to follow his example. We have his DNA. And because God is generous, I want to encourage all of us to be generous. And you say, well, I don't really believe that God is generous. Well, I want to let you know there's evidence everywhere that God is generous, okay? I mean, think of the planet that we live in. God created this planet specially suited to sustain us, to provide all of our needs, to provide many of our pleasures. He's generous. Think about it. God provides us with the ability to see in color. Aren't you glad that this is not just a black and white world? That we get to see the beauty of the color of Marlis's shirt today, all the different colors. We see the beauty of different colors. We get to have light, sounds. Just think of the generosity of God just to give us breath. Everybody take a deep breath. That right there is the generosity of God. He gives us air. He gives us the ability to taste things and enjoy them. So the next time you're at Culver's, and you're sitting down with a Butterburger, or better yet, the next time you're at Cane's and you have that chicken finger in your hand and you dip it into that special sauce. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of you are clueless. You need to get on board. It's in Woodbury, okay? And you taste that. How many people know that's a gift from God? That's a gift from God. Chad's here today. All right. Just the ability to taste and enjoy. The ability to hear and appreciate. I mean, this last Thursday night, the high school, there was a recital, spring recital, and I went and I sat in the very back row, And just act after act, or better yet, routine after routine, I just sat there amazed at the giftedness of these students, of a girl that got up and played a trumpet. I just like, wow. A young man that got up and played a trombone. I was just amazed. How does he know when to go too far? I mean, you just the giftedness to be able to hear those things, and just to hear, Logan, come on, Logan. Get up and play his snare drum, I mean, at a rapid pace, and everybody was like, wow. See, all those things that we take for granted are really what? They're the gifts from God. It's all a part of his generosity. We get to hear, we get to touch, we get all these things. And I love this verse. James says this. He says, whatever's good, whatever's perfect, all those good and perfect things are a gift that come down to God, from God, our Father. So all those good things are evidence of God's generosity. See, we got an issue in our youth group right now. We have a few ladies that they connect everything negative to God. And I'm here to say, why don't we begin to connect everything positive to God? Amen? So just the fact that you can breathe, and just the fact that you're healthy today, those are all great gifts. We are wonderfully blessed. Those are gifts from God. Look what Paul says to young Timothy. He says, teach those who are rich in this world. And by the way, that's all of us. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud, not to trust. Don't trust in your money. Why? Because it's so unreliable. He says their trust should be in God. And then look at how he concludes this verse. Who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. How many people have a lot to enjoy? You enjoy just all these wonderful things. Those are all the result of the fact that God in heaven is a very, very generous God. Amen? And the ultimate act of God's generosity is the fact that he gave his son so that you and I can have eternal life. Many of us know this verse. It says, can we read it together? Everyone together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. See, here's the cool thing. God saw our greatest need. And our greatest need is we needed forgiveness of our sins. So what did he do? He responded with generosity. He showed his generosity to the ultimate when he sent his son, Jesus, to die. By the way, I need to ask you a question this morning. Have you responded to God's generous gift of his son? And we're going to give you an opportunity to do that at the end of the service today. Have you responded to God's generous gift? So the question is, why should we be generous? The answer is, we should be generous because God, our Father, is generous. And as his children, you and I, we are called to follow the example of our Father in heaven. And that is certainly to take place as we gather together week after week in community. We need to be generous with one another, kind with one another, unselfish with one another. Why? Because, man, God is that way, and we need to follow God's example. We need to look more like him. Question number two is the how question. This is where the rubber meets the road. How can we give generously? How can we be generous? Think about it. God's called us to be generous. How can we do it? So let's do this. Here's the rules. One word answers. Don't start preaching your own sermon. That's my job. Okay? Here's the rules. I want you to give me one or two word answers at the most. How can we be generous? Anyone? Well, hold on. Teach. Who said teach? Teach. I heard time. What other ones? What's that? Share a meal. Awesome. Anybody else? How can we be generous?
Pray.
How can we be generous? Talents. Anyone else? Languages. Anyone else? What's that? Tithing. Thank you, Bob. All right, Bob. I'll pay you later for that answer. Bob, you're a good man. But anyway, how can we be generous? Because this is what I want you to see. Most of the time when we think of generosity, and after you read that text, I think a lot of people are in this trap that generosity is all about just limited to money. But if you go to your Bible, and we're not going to go there because there's not enough time, if you went to Luke chapter 10, you read the story, the classic story of what we call the Good Samaritan. But we need to understand this as the Good Samaritan. He was very generous, but think about it. He gave his time. He gave his resources. But he also gave his skill. to meet the need of a man who had been left for dead at the side of the road. So we need to look bigger than just money. Yes, it certainly includes finances, but we need to look bigger and see that being generous is something that we can all do, some part we can all play. Some of the things I wrote down, we can be generous with our time. Great answer. We all have the same amount of time. Being generous is saying, I'm going to give this amount of time to serve somebody else. We can serve with, someone said, hospitality. We can serve by exercising that gift and inviting somebody over. That's very generous. We can be generous with our choice of words. I mean, that falls right in the text. Remember Barnabas, whose nickname was what? Son of encouragement. You can be very generous by not tearing people down, by not being negative. But what would happen if we had a bunch of generous people in this church that we begin to say words of kindness, words of encouragement? And I was almost ready to take one more minute to say, go find somebody to encourage, but I won't, okay? Because there's some people who are like, I can only do that once a Sunday. But anyway, what would it look like if we would just be people who walk around and say, hey, I want to encourage you. I want to build you up. Because here's the deal. We live in a world where it's very easy, it's very simple to find people who are negative. It's trying to find things to tear you down. But I believe if we have this DNA of our Father in heaven, we walk around different. Amen? And we walk around, especially in this community of believers. I hope this isn't a community where there's ever a negative word. But what would it look like in this community where the only words that came out of our mouths were words of encouragement for one another? Hey, God's at work in your life. I can see it. Don't give up. Stick it out. Keep moving. You can do this. God, you can do all things through Christ who gives you. What would it look like if we begin to encourage? And here's another one. We can be encouraging with our friendship. See, there's some people in this room, you have a lot of friends. Maybe it's because you grew up in River Falls. You have a lot of friends. You have a lot of extended family. But that's not true of everyone. There's people in this room, maybe they're just recently moving in town. And one of the ways that you can be generous is by saying, hey, I'm going to connect. And I'm going to put forth some effort. And I'm going to be generous by becoming, I'm going to go out of my way to be their friend. So I just want to get us thinking as a church. Yes, money is a big thing. We need money to keep this all happening. But I tell you what, there's so many ways. And by the way, it's not always the amount of money. Remember when Jesus was sitting in the temple one day and one guy came in and he threw in a lot of money, but then there was a widow that came in and threw what in? A widow's mite. And Jesus praised that woman. So I want to encourage us in this culture, let's be a group of people that are growing. We're stretching our generous muscle. So maybe you're a 2 today. I encourage you, become a 4. Maybe you're a 6 today. Say, I'm going to be a 7. And what would that be like, the contagiousness of that, if we would just begin to encourage and become more generous? Let's be a generous people. Amen? Because I heard somebody once say that if God knows he can get it through you, he'll get it to you. And I want to encourage you, don't hold back. And that kind of leads into the third question as we close this morning. Third question is, what happens when we're generous? Think about that before I answer it for you. What happens when I'm generous? I'm going to give you some scriptural support of what happens. 3 scriptures in closing here. Look at this one in Proverbs 11:25. Can we read it together? It's short enough to read together. Everybody together. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Can we read that first part together? It's a promise. The generous will prosper. How many people know God is faithful to his promises? Come on, do you believe God is faithful to his promises? That's not just an idea. That's the promise of God, that generous people will prosper. God's word. Here we go. 2 Corinthians says this, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds is going to get a small crop. But the one who plants, here's our word, generously, will get what kind of crop? Everybody together, a generous crop. You must each decide in your own heart what to give. And don't do it reluctantly or in response to pressure. By the way, we don't pressure people to give here. But here's the deal. God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Somebody also said he'll take from a grouch, but he loves a cheerful giver. Verse 8, and God will generously provide all you need. If you're generous, God gets into your life. He gets into the game. When he sees generous people, God steps up, takes notice. He sees the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the earth. And he sees exactly, I don't know how he does it. He's God. He sees all these billions of people. What, about 7 billion now? And when he sees generous, God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need. And I love it. And plenty left over to share with others. And by the way, the principle is there is you're not blessed just to hoard it. You're blessed to be a blessing. Amen? Be generous. God provides so you can be generous again. And then the last verse of the day where this is Jesus, God's Son, saying this. Give. Can we read it together? I love to hear you guys read. Give, and you will receive. Your gifts will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. That's another promise. So what happens when we're generous? God steps up and does amazing things. Few people in life have discovered this. My prayer for my life, your life, our church, is that we'll all stretch that generosity muscle. And if we're a 2, we'll become a 4. If you're a 6, you'll become a 7. I want to encourage all of us individually and corporately this morning, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I want to encourage you to step beyond being selfish and step into that role of generosity. And when you step into that role of generosity, you're going to be amazed with how God steps into your life and the amazing things that he does. So I want to encourage us. Let's be a generous people. But I also want to encourage us corporately as a community. I want us to be a generous community. I want this to be known as a church that doesn't hoard what we get, but we give away what we get. Amen? And that's one of the beauties that we have as a church. We're very limited in financial restrictions, and we're able to give. And it's fun when we give. It's fun when we can be generous to others. But I want to incorporate that into every one of us. Every one of us. So let's close with these two questions. Question number one, have you responded to God's generous gift of eternal life? God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Have you responded to that gift? Have you said yes to Christ? Have you said yes to Jesus? And say, Lord, I receive the forgiveness of sin that's only available through you. So I want you to all think right now. And the question is, did I grow up going to church or did I go to confirmation? But the question is, have you responded to Christ? Have you said yes to Jesus? Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to give my life to you. The biggest question in your life is, what will you do with Jesus? Hands down, the biggest question in life that you'll hear in eternity is, what did you do with my Son? And I want this to be a church where everybody knows the question before the final exam. Here's the question on the test. What did you do with my Son, Jesus? Did you receive him or did you reject him? And I want to encourage us to be people who have said yes to Christ, yes to Jesus, yes that there's forgiveness only in Christ and the work of the cross. Amen? So I want you to answer that question. Here's my second question in closing. And this is where we can all jump in. What is one thing you can do this week? What's one thing you can do this week to be more generous? So I want to encourage you, if you need to take out a piece of paper and a pencil at this time, or if you have a great memory, or if you want to take out your phone, I'm giving you permission to take out your phone. What is one thing you can do this week? Because for in order for a muscle to grow stronger, you have to use it. What is it you can do this week? And it may not be money related. It might be you say, I'm a college student. Well, as a college student, can you encourage someone? As a college student, can you reach out to somebody? And there's something we can all do, regardless of our age, we can all do to build that muscle of being more generous, because that's what community looks like, is when we're a bunch of people that come together and we're being generous with one another. Maybe you know somebody in this church that needs prayer today. You know what? Pastor Mike's not the only person that knows how to pray or has a connection with God. Amen? We all do. And you can go and pray for that person as well as I can go pray for that person. And that would be a generous thing that you could do, reaching out and caring for those people around us. We're family, guys. Look around at your family. What do you think? We're family. This is community. So what I want to do is I want to close. If you'd all stand to your feet with me, join me. Here's what I want us to do in closing this morning. We've been preaching about community, and we're not just about preaching sermons and not living them out. Let's just do this. Let's join hands together, and let's join hands across the aisles. Hold on. Let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So my challenge this week is stretch your generosity muscle. God bless you. Have an awesome, awesome week.